This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yeah. Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of things happening around the Umpqua Valley. Our weekly check-in with State Senator David Brock Smith to see what's going on in Salem with the legislature. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Fresh off the Senate floor.
So how many days do we have left here in the session as of now?
41. 41 days until sine die.
So 41 days. So we're what? Are we like three quarters through the session?
Oh, well, there's 160 days in a long session, so pretty close, yeah, three quarters. Of course, we spoke last week, you know, about budgets, and we were waiting for last Wednesday's revenue forecast. Of course, the revenue forecast shows that they're about $500 million lower than the previous revenue forecast, but more in line with what the December revenue forecast was. But I was just on the floor talking to co-chair Ways and Means Kate Lieber about needing to hold on to that $35 million that we were able to allocate in the last legislative session for the third veterans home to be built in Roseburg. It is critically important that we keep that money, but we have to reallocate it in the new biennium. And so that's, again, top priority of mine, as you can imagine.
And right now, do you feel like the pace of the session is going well enough so that everything that needs to be dealt with will be dealt with?
Well, as a member of the minority party in the state legislature, Kyle, we can't get out of the session fast enough. Budgets are priorities, and we don't have control. And you have a number of tax bills that the Democrats would like to pass, and frankly, you have a supermajority in both chambers to where they don't need a Republican vote to pass them. And right now, of course, my friend and colleague Senator Woods passed away and has been replaced by Representative Neron, now Mislin, now Courtney, Senator Courtney Neron Mislin. But there's a vacancy for her position in the House that the Democrats in that district are putting forward names to the commissioners to go ahead and make that appointment. So essentially, I bring it up because the Democrats are a vote down of a supermajority in the House until that individual is placed. So we as the deputy Republican leader for the Senate, Republicans, would like to get out of here as soon as possible. We have a situation where there's still a number of bad bills on the horizon. We're pushing back as hard as we can. And those tax bills are still lingering. The Democrats want to raise taxes on transportation. They want to raise the fuel tax in the state of Oregon by 50%. It's currently 40 cents. They want to raise it 20. Along with their recommendations in the transportation package include, you know, payroll taxes, bike taxes, tire taxes, you know, a number of different things. We're just coming out of bite inflation. It's a serious problem all across the state. I'm hopeful that the Democrats will realize that being anti-business as they are, and these policies that are attacking businesses aren't helping, and that's one of the reasons why revenue is down and people are leaving Oregon and they're taking their businesses with them. So it's the same thing with housing. As you know, we have serious issues with regards to building housing. Governor Kotek wanted 36,000 units a year. We're barely over 11,000 units. And last year, it's not working. And so when we're again, when I say budgets are priorities, and we are paying for folks that aren't even legal residents of the United States, let alone Oregon's health care and living assistance and so on and so forth, at what time do we, or past time, excuse me, to scale back on that and take care of Oregonians?
One question that might be a little out of left field, but a topic came up earlier today elsewhere. What are you hearing, if anything, from the agriculture community in Oregon? Do we have any ag-related bills that are up right now? And also, how are you hearing from farmers as they're kind of getting through all the ups and downs and federal changes this year?
Well, I am not on the Natural Resources and Wildfire Committee anymore that deal with ag legislation. There was, however, a number of, we call them the 70 series, of Senator Golden and his attack on ag lands and private property rights with regards to rebuilding houses that were impacted by wildfire in regards to allowing agricultural land to have housing, limiting the size of that housing, water restrictions on those lands. We were able to, again, as a member of the supermajority, because of relationships with his Democrat colleagues, we were able to kill those bills. There is a piece of legislation out there that I think it's Senate Bill 3072 or House Bill 3072 that will allow for small, half acre farms to be able to utilize up to 3,000 gallons of water for irrigation of their farmland of that farm area. This is more for the hobby farmer, right, that sells things at the local farmer's market and so forth. They'll be able to utilize this without a permit or have to go through any rigmarole to do so. Now, the Farm Bureau is opposed to the bill because of the situation that they have to go to get a water rate. So it's pitting, small farmers with larger farmers. I understand the Farm Bureau's position on the piece of legislation, however, and I do have some issues with the bill because there is no oversight. So, when it comes to aquifers that you might be pulling water from, you might have a farmer with a water right that has a senior water right, and then it's surrounded by these small hobby farms that now will be able to get those wells to irrigate, that then it could cause the issues with regards to the senior water right holder that's a farmer in the aquifer, and there's no recourse at that point in the legislation. I tried to amend the bill, but I couldn't get the support, so unfortunately we have moved forward. However, the ag side of things, there were some pretty horrendous pieces of legislation, but we were able to stop them from moving forward. And I'm not aware of any real piece of legislation that moved out of the Senate, that is going to be impacting ag in a negative way.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back, talk more about what's happening with the Oregon State Legislature on Inside Douglas County. He is live from Salem, just off the floor of the Senate, State Senator David Brock Smith. Part two in a moment. It'll be a podcast after one at 541radio.com and News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. On tomorrow's program, Brian Prowitz, Executive Director of the Umpqua Economic Development Partnership. We'll talk about the Economic Summit that took place last week here in Southern Oregon, bringing in people from around the region to talk about economic development and related topics. In Salem, State Senator David Brocksmith on with us right now, just off the floor of the Senate a few minutes before we began. As you look at the 44 days left in this session, what do you think the top five things are that you're going to be working on, or that it's maybe most important that lawmakers address?
Well, thanks, Kyle. Yeah, with 41 days left, I had bills move out of the House this morning. For example, Senate Bill 221, which does it's the incubation nurseries or hatch boxes for Coos County. We finally are, getting that done. I've been working on that since 17, and hopes that we can, show that we can do that work in Coos County and the benefit of it, and so we can then move it to Douglas and Curry and throughout Southwest Oregon. There's a bill that came out that's going to allow folks to use battery-powered backpack sprayers, which is ridiculous that they can't use it. But this afternoon, we have an issue with DAGAMI's fees. DAGAMI is the Department of Geological and Minerals and Industries. They want to raise fees dramatically across the board. Frankly, that agency has not been very helpful for our communities around the state, let alone Southwest Oregon, when we want to start, doing things like aggregate work and mining and so forth. Tonight we have my Senate Bill 1024 has a work session, and it's going to allow our local governments to get into IGA's intergovernmental agreements with ODOT so that they can move property off of the right-of-ways. Currently, they can't, and it's a big problem on state highways where you have individuals and houseless people that are just parking their RVs on pullouts. It's especially a problem down in Curry County and, before you get into Brookings on those pullouts. And so Curry County will now be able to enter into IGA and with what resources they have, go ahead and move forward with removing those things. For me, the priorities left in this session are, of course, securing the $35 million for the veterans home to be built in Roseburg, securing the $1.4 million for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife's budget to keep the operations going at Rock Creek Hatchery. We've been working on that, as you know. There is also a priority for the Port of Coos Bay and a $1.5 million loan through Business Oregon to the Port of Coos Bay to fix their WAYS system, which is a rail system that allows large boats to come out of the water and be repaired, or large boats that are built in Charleston to be put in to the water in Charleston. We were able to secure a couple sessions ago, I think it was $2.6 million for the port of Port Orford so that they can buy new cranes. They use cranes to raise and lower the boats in and out of the ocean because it's a direct access port. We're able to shift $1.6 million that I secured in 2017 for the port redevelopment project to deal with the inflationary costs associated with that, the tariffs associated with that project. So they're going to be able to, and we're doing it right now. But that will allow for more building of boats for the fishermen in Port Orford, because these new cranes are 50 tons versus the 25-ton crane that is working there now. The other big push is to secure at minimum $200 million in bonding authority for the Pacific Coast Intermodal Port Project. I was on the phone. Congressman Bentz called me yesterday on my way up to Salem yesterday afternoon, and he is, of course, fully supportive of that project. And my understanding is so is the Trump administration. From all of the talk that we've been able to have, as you know, it's a $2.1 billion project. It's roughly 65 to 7,000 jobs from Coos Bay to Eugene. That shipping rail terminal project at the Port of Coos Bay will change the economic dynamics for Southwest Oregon. It will allow goods to be to come in there, and frankly, manufactured and goods to go out. So the exporters from Southwest Oregon won't be having to take their goods either to Portland or Tacoma or to Oakland in order to export, which will be a game changer. And it's literally a project that's also going to lift all boats and make a huge difference in the generations of poverty that Coos Bay has seen since the lack of access to the natural resource industries and logging that was damaged by the spotted owl and everything else. So those are just some of the top five. There are some policy bills, but really my, you know, more than half my job in Salem is to stop bad bills from moving forward. And so we're focused on that. There's bad bills this week. Senate Bill 7, I talked about Senate Bill 836, the Dagami Bill. But there's also Senate Bill 702 this Wednesday that is going to inhibit flavored tobacco to be sold. And it started, you know, no flavored tobacco to be sold in the state. Pushing back, it was amended. Now you can only sell flavored tobacco at liquor stores in the state. And I talked to the bill's sponsor, Senator Reynolds, and I said that's a horrible idea. It's ridiculous to think that you're going to be you're going to have liquor stores that are just going to change your business model and sell this stuff. It is problematic at best. There is also, of course, the governor's bill, Senate Bill 952, that is up, was up this morning for a hearing that allows the governor to appoint a United States senator when vacancy in the office occurs, rather than the special election that we normally have. I mean, incumbency for these folks is problematic, and so to allow the governor to unilaterally appoint is ridiculous. So it is a game of trying to get resources to projects in our district. It is a game to stop the Democrats from raising any taxes and, frankly, giving them agencies the authority to do it in fees, like this Dagami bill. Making sure that we are able to get out of here as soon as possible so that they don't have more time to come up with new opportunities to take Oregonians' hard-earned money.
Just about out of time, a couple quick questions for you. There probably are a lot of easier things you can do in life. What do you find the most gratifying about being a state senator?
Oh, wow. You know, it's when you help the people. More than half, I was just talking to Representative Osborne about this morning. You know, it's when you are able to help your constituents. A lot, more than half our job is dealing with the agencies and being a conduit between them. For example, the Rite Aid pharmacy is closing and banned. And the CEO of the Southern Coos Hospital reached out to me last week. I reached out to the governors because they're trying to get the pharmacy permitted. I reached out to them. He reached out to me. I reached out to the governor's office and OHA. And I, on Friday of last week, And I got an email back this morning that their permit was good to go, and they're hopefully going to be able to open their pharmacy by the 22nd when Rite Aid closes. I mean, those are the things that I find most rewarding, is when you're able to speed up government that helps the people.
All right, we'll wrap it up for now and talk again soon with State Senator David Brocksmith live from Salem. David, thanks for being on.
Thank you,
Scott. 1258 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.